Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's take prayer advice.
Brothers and sisters in Mexico.
Okay.
Olin of this church.
I'm sorry?
Olin.
Olin, let's think of Olin.
Edgar.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. We pray that you bless our brothers and sisters all over the world, Lord, especially those in Mexico and those that are alone. Pray for Edgar, Guatemala. Pray for brothers in Peru, Colombia, Brazil. Pray that you encourage Olin with his visiting his grandpa. Be with us today. Give us wisdom as we seek to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, so today is Psalm 122. Actually, no, I think 121 is what I think it was. 121, right? I was glad when they said to me. Is that where we're at? Brother Brian, is that?
Okay.
Okay. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet stand in your courts, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city whose compactness is complete. There the tribes went up, the tribes of the Lord, a testimony to Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones sat there in judgment, thrones over the house of David. Ask now for things regarding the peace of Jerusalem, and there is prosperity for those who love you. Let there now be peace in your power and prosperity in your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and my neighbors, I indeed spoke peace concerning you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I sought good things for you. Okay. One idea here that's mentioned twice, it's repeated, is peace. And something that is related to that, which is mentioned before, it talks about peace, is it says, for thrones sat there for judgment, thrones over the house of David. I think we've heard some teaching about the difference between being a peacemaker and a diplomat, or an ambassador and a diplomat. And I think that's kind of related to this, in the sense that when you think of thrones being set up for judgment, it's talking about an authority that is going to be yielded to. So here we see one of the conditions necessary for peace before it can even be asked for. As opposed to the idea that two conflicting parties sit down and just try to make agreements and come up with compromises so that everybody can get along, which is what a diplomat does. An ambassador comes representing a throne that's set up in judgment so that peace can actually be asked for and obtained. And it goes on to say, let there now be peace in your power. So I think one of the ideas in this psalm that we can see in reality or real life is that peace is related to power, not a give and take or a compromise. And Jesus spoke a parable about peace, obtaining peace with God. And I think it was in Luke chapter 14. Thank you. one of the parables that Jesus spoke about was about a king going to make war against another king. And he says, does he not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him, and who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So the idea here that Jesus is presenting is that peace isn't something that is found through two warring parties getting together and finding a common ground. It's one deciding whether they're going to yield to the other or not. And so Jesus says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And in our relationship with God seeking peace, Christ asked us to give him everything. And we've seen things like this play out even amongst ourselves with conflicts that have arisen here. People that want an appearance of peace and people that want real peace. And there's a big difference between the two. So, for the lesson next week, find verses or references in the Bible that have to do with having peace. Having peace with each other or having peace with God. Both for the older boys and the younger boys.
Go ahead and let them do their thing.
Okay. You can go ahead and do your lesson.
We were supposed to get someone that was a follower of Christ, and he stayed faithful through a dark time. And I thought about an Anabaptist named Andrew Clayson, and he was in a really dark time because they were hunting him, and he had to move to this other city, and then they found him there and killed him.
Job went through a hard time when he lost his children in a whirlwind, and the coward stole all his animals, and his wife turned away from God.
I was going to talk about Ahab when he was faced with war, and he decided not to trust God. He just decided to try to handle it himself, and he was killed in the war.
Joseph was sold, and he still followed the Lord, even though it was hard in the land of Egypt.
We had the same assignment. I thought about when Lot had to flee from the city. He had a hard time because he lost his wife and most of his children and had to go live in a cave.
I found a verse here in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now I'm just thinking, no matter how hard trials may seem that we face or things that people do to us, we know that God won't ever let anything happen that we can't handle and still follow Him.
I thought about David when Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him, and how he had to escape and live in caves, and he followed God through it, and when he could have killed Saul, he
did the right thing and left him live. And then in the end, it worked out the way God wanted.
I thought about Daniel when the king loved him, but he went ahead and threw him in the lion's den because he disobeyed one of his laws. But God kept him through that because Daniel was faithful to him. He pulled him out. The king pulled him out the next day.
I thought about Paul when he was faithful and he served so many people and so many churches, and then close to the end of his life they captured him, and he knew that God was almost done with him, and so and he went through some hard times that even whole churches would go against him and stuff, and finally, but he was glad, and he didn't get all discouraged because he knew, or he was looking forward to seeing the Lord.
I got Tobit. His son told him that there was a dead man lying in the marketplace, so he went and he buried him, and since he was unclean from doing that, he wasn't able to sleep in his house at night, so he slept outside beside the wall. And because of the bird droppings, he became blind. He endured through that, and then his son met an angel and talked to him and told him a remedy for his father, and his father got better.
I thought about how Moses was up on the mountain talking to God, and then when he came down here, the children of Israel had made a golden calf and they were worshiping it, and it was so terrible that Moses just broke the two tablets of stone. But then God was going to kill the people, and Moses said that God should kill him and save the people. And then later, Moses' sister and brother complained about the Ethiopian woman he had married, but he endured through that.
About the early Christians, they endured a lot of hard times when they were being persecuted, and even though they're being persecuted, they're still praising God and stuff. Just they're enduring through this hard time.
The children of Israel would go through dark times, and God would allow bad things to happen to them, but only after they had started to turn their back on God, and God was just trying to get their attention. I kind of thought that's kind of, you know, sometimes the bad things happen to us. We think, why is God letting this happen to us? And maybe he's just trying to get our attention back where it needs to be to start with.